Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
When bad moms happen to good people.
The power to adopt five children, to raise them, to educate them. I will never be ungrateful for that.
Along with Medea, perhaps, actress Joan Crawford is the Halloween bad mother queen. But you don't need a Greek tragedy to be cast as a bad mom in this day and age.
Bad mother, bad mother, bad mother, bad mother, bad mother.
Mothers get shafted. One bad mom tries to set us straight.
Right on.
On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Thursday, May 7th. I'm John Hockenberry, and I'm joined by the baddest Farai Chidea this morning.
That's right. I will take the term of bad mama, just theoretically speaking. But we have a real bad mama, at least she says she is, coming up later this hour. And we are also going to hear from a TARP program overseer who's looking at the billions of dollars and where they're going. Those stories coming up, but first these headlines.
Can you say stress tests? The government releases its report cards on the nation's 19 biggest banks later today. Not all of them will be getting gold stars, but Elizabeth Warren, who chairs the congressional committee overseeing the TARP fund, says we can't dump the entire system, and she speaks with us on The Takeaway in just a few moments. President Obama will ask Congress today to cut $17 billion from the proposed 2010 budget. Pentagon spending takes about half the hit. Congress may not approve all the cuts, which are about one half of a percent of the $3.4 trillion budget Congress approved for next year. Farai?
And in Pakistan, many thousands of refugees continue to flee from areas in the Swat Valley. Fighting continues there between the Taliban and the Pakistani army. Yesterday, Pakistani President Asif al-Zardari met with President Obama in Washington to plead for more aid. Zardari says his nation will overcome the Taliban.
For no matter how long it takes and what it takes, democracies will deliver. My democracy will deliver. People of Pakistan stand with the people of the United States and the people of Afghanistan.
Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Robert Gates told Marines in Afghanistan today there are no plans for the U.S. to deploy troops to Pakistan. And President Obama says the U.S. is going to offer unwavering support to the governments of Pakistan and Afghanistan.
I also made it clear that the United States will work with our Afghan and international partners to make every effort to avoid civilian casualties as we help the Afghan government combat our common enemy.
And today, police in Afghanistan fired into a crowd of protesters throwing rocks who blame U.S. bombing runs in western Afghanistan for dozens of civilian deaths. But a U.S. military official says the Taliban is to blame for many of the deaths in that raid.
And that death toll is under dispute. The Dow and the S&P were both up more than 1% yesterday, and the Dow closed at its highest point since January 9th. It opens at 85.12 later this morning, and the S&P starts trading at 9.20, and it appears to be positive signs in the futures market for trading when Wall Street opens at 9:30. Have we turned a corner? Well, the bank stress tests will tell the tale. More from Elizabeth Warren, the TARP overseer, in just a moment. But on Sunday, it's Mother's Day. Later on the show, we're going to talk to a woman who found it hard to balance her parenting responsibilities with her professional ones. Her latest book is called Bad Mother. We want to know, have you ever been tagged as a bad mom? What is it that you do that makes you worry people are going to tag you as a bad mother? Tell us your story. 877-8-MY-TAKE or my take at the takeaway.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here. The Congressional Oversight Panel, which is supposed to look at the financial bailout, the Toxic Asset Relief Program, the TARP Fund, see where all that money goes. Their latest report is out today. Also, stress tests on banks are going to be released by the Treasury. Everyone will be watching. And call it a buzzword, a central principle, but let's get something straight on this whole bank bailout business.
Transparency.
Transparency and accountability.
Transparency and oversight.
Unprecedented transparency.
Transparency.
Standards of transparency.
Transparency.
Clarity and transparency.
Did you get that right? According to the Obama administration, whether we agree with the trillions of dollars being spent on the bailout for the banks or not, we're all supposed to be able to watch that tax money and printed greenbacks drain from the Treasury and the Fed and land like a Niagara Falls on the financial sector. But unlike the Falls, the TARP program is not a tourist attraction with a neat viewing stand. Joining us now is Elizabeth Warren, the chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel. Elizabeth Warren, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So in your oversight role, and this is a huge thing to be monitoring, it seems to me, if we were to think of the Treasury as a profligate spender, okay, who needs maybe some roping in, as you look at the TARP program and the other sort of ancillary programs in Treasury, how well is that huge consumer doing in controlling his or her spending?
Better than before, and that's always a good way to start it. Remember, $350 billion went out the door in commitments in the first few weeks while Henry Paulson was still Secretary of the Treasury, and it went out on terms that said, take our money, please. No restrictions, no limitations on how to spend it. Just we're going to give it to the financial institutions and trust you to do what you think is the right thing with it. Basically, our panel kind of did the metaphoric, you know, jumped up and down and pulled our hair out and screamed and threw things and kept talking about transparency, accountability, clarity in the government program. And by golly, we get what I think of as Treasury 2. You know, Secretary Geithner comes in, and let's face it, he starts in a deep hole as a consequence of this, both financially and kind of in terms of confidence. And look, they're more transparent than they were before. The programs are, you know, online. They've explained more of them. There's somewhat more accountability, more restrictions on how the money's going to be spent. He divided it up among different programs. He's still holding $110 billion in reserve. And there's a little more clarity, a little more, around what the pieces are. So if what we're doing
is measuring.
So you're feeling
better.
I'm feeling better.
Right.
And that's the answer. It's definitely better.
So let's talk a little bit about where the money is going. I mean, certainly there was a lot of concern about the money being spent on bonuses for executives at some of these institutions. How much of your oversight is other than that? Let's put the bonuses aside for a minute. What other oversight issues are you really measuring?
So let me put it this way. Our real job, think about the overall design. Congress said, here's $700 billion to Treasury because – you know, Secretary Paulson had said, give us $700 billion or the economy dies. You know, so Congress says, here's the money. But they recognize this is an emergency. You don't stand behind the firefighter and say, and so much water should be directed here and so much here and so much here. So they designed this oversight panel to stand on the outside. And we actually have very little description of what we're supposed to do other than how we're supposed to think about the central ideas behind what Treasury's supposed to be doing.
So, but that's a little sad in the sense it's like your mission is to, all right, stand here, Elizabeth, and watch this car wreck that's going to happen in a few minutes.
And keep screaming warnings.
Yeah.
So that, you know, in a sense, that is our job. So what I do is I keep standing out there saying, hey, guys, you got to be clearer about this. We got to see what's going on. We got to believe these numbers. You've got to show us things that are true and accurate. So I keep pounding on the table for that. You got to make these folks accountable. On a regular basis, you can't just give money away and hope that it goes in the directions we thought. And you really got to explain more about the programs. You've got to explain and put in some metrics in place so that we can see if you're making it from point A to point B to point Z. So we stand out there, and frankly, the job is we keep pushing. And if we push them a foot, then I just move forward a foot and try to push them a foot further. That's what I see as my job.
Are you really a we, though? And I ask that in the sense that there has been some pushback from the Republican members of the panel. And there is a bit of a fracture about how you go about your business. What do you think the fundamental difference is of opinion? And have you been able to work it out over time?
You know, this has been really interesting for me. I'm a total Washington outsider. The last elective office I held, I think, was sometime back in seventh grade. And I'm, you know, so I'm not part of that world. But I'll say this. When we've gone through our work for each of these monthly reports, we reach out to experts all around the country, indeed, sometimes all around the globe. We talk to people who, politically speaking, are on the left and on the right. We talk to people and try to gather data from every source and analyze it every way we can. So just to pick an example, our regulatory reform report, we had a lot of consensus from a lot of different points of view. Our work doesn't fracture along ordinary left-right lines. I mean, come on, talking about accountability and transparency, these are not left-right issues. On the other hand, yeah, we got folks on our panel who have belonged to different political parties, and they think that's a significant part of the mix. I just don't see it that way.
Well, let me test the transparency issue right here.
I mean, sure.
Can you call up Timothy Geithner today, get him on the phone, and ask him point blank, how much of the money have you given out, Secretary Geithner, has come from the TARP, and how much exactly in dollar amounts has come from the Fed reserves, which are two different spigots, and you're supposed to be watching both of them?
Yep. Yes.
And his answer would be,
well,
and has been?
His answer has been to lay the dollars out, and I will
say.
So how
much is it? Which
well,
is which?
This is it. We do have some disputes back and forth. We push back. You know, let's face it, even accounting has some creativity to it. And so there have been some disputes. But basically, what we have so far is about $590 billion has come out of TARP. Which is the, you know, the amount that Congress could
Congressionally authorized fund.
Fed, remember.
That's the magic money.
Fed is the magic money.
That's the printing money.
And we think we're in the neighborhood of about $4.2
trillion. Whoa. Wait a minute. A headline.
No, I don't mean to do new headlines. I'm trying to do – actually, these are numbers that I think, unless I got them wrong. These are numbers that came from Borofsky. And that you're now scaring me when you
well,
give me this
Well, I think
face.
That's not widely known, and I think possibly it's because of the media coverage, and possibly it's because of the way this information comes out, but that's really important.
Right. Well, and let me say it this way. This is one of the things that people have worried a lot about. On the Fed end of it, that's taking the biggest version of the number. On the Fed end of it, it's a lot of guarantees. It's not just money that's been spent, money that's been infused into programs. A lot of the Fed is total commitment money. Now, what the Fed defenders would say is, hey, you know, if the bad things don't happen, then you never have to pay off on the guarantee. So the amount of money that actually leaves the Fed is different from the amount of money that we may have done a backstop. We may have committed if it is there. So that may be part of the reason we get very different numbers on how much Fed money is in here, because it depends on whether you want to add up all guarantees or you want to talk about real dollars that have already gone out the door. TARP is a lot easier to watch in that sense because we're watching real dollars go out the door.
Well, just quickly, a lot of folks have criticized the way that the federal government has put incredible scrutiny on the car companies and has, in some ways, forced the car companies to be accountable for every cent. And TARP, as we're talking about, there is a large fuzziness about what the government is demanding for these trillions of dollars in TARP and the other programs. Why do you think it is that there's this disjunction between the ways the federal government operates in terms of oversight? And is it either unfair to the car companies or too lenient to the banks or both?
You know, I want to say that you just asked me the question that I asked Timothy Geithner when the Congressional Oversight Panel ran a hearing with Secretary Geithner. I think it's been about 2 weeks ago. That was my opening question.
And
I want to understand the difference between the two.
Hemmed and hawed.
We'd have to do a replay. I don't think I could – I'll put it this way. I don't think I could fairly characterize his answer.
And it probably would take longer than 32 seconds to even replay his answer. Well, Elizabeth Warren, a lot to talk about there. Those numbers are really staggering. It seems like the printing presses have rolled at the very least at the Fed. The big question is what does a credit crisis mean for consumers? And let's talk about that a little bit later.
All right.
Sitting tight for us, Elizabeth Warren, chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel and Godley professor of law at Harvard University, right here in our studio. You know, you can go to thetakeaway.org and see our web-only video. That's with me and Farai talking with Elizabeth Warren. And also on our website, you can read an excerpt from her most recent book, or her book, All You're Worth. We'll talk to Elizabeth Warren in just a moment.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.